SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Rise and Grind with us on a Wednesday morning edition of The Early Line. We're here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside. Over the next 2 hours, we got you covered on all of the hottest topics for a third day in a row. We welcome in Joe Ranieri. Good morning on this glorious Wednesday.
Back in the saddle again, Donnie, ready to roll. A lot of exciting things happening midweek here for a change this time of season. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Yesterday went 0-3 on RBI props, lost my same game parlay. I have a dentist appointment today. So, Joe, this is the highlight of my day, 7-9. I want to enjoy it. Let's get after it and have some fun. The 7-in-7 hottest topics across the sports landscape starts. How about this? Another draft. We just had the NBA draft. Now it's time for the NHL to take center stage tonight. And my goodness, a generational player in the NBA draft and the NHL draft? Sign us up for that, Joe.
Well, you know, they don't come along all that often, and you would have thought the news, remember back when the Blackhawks got the number one pick and the celebration that was happening there, because Connor Bedard is a franchise changer. They don't come around often, but I don't think Chicago can screw it up here. Let's just leave it at that.
Nope, and neither can we. Why? We're bringing on some help here in hour number one. Brayton J. Wilson's going to join us today to go over some NHL thoughts about the draft and some topics in the offseason as well. Talking about topics in the offseason, it might as well be the offseason here for Blue Jays starter Alek Manoah. Gets sent down to rookie ball and got absolutely shelled yesterday. What is going on here? Alek Manoah was looking to be one of those young, dominant pitchers in baseball. Now he can't go to instructional league baseball and even perform there. What a fall, Joe.
Yeah, when you get lit up at rookie ball, we got an issue here. And I think the issue really is maybe above the shoulders more than it's mechanically or anything to do physically, Donnie. I think he's talking to himself right now, and that's not going to get any better, I don't think, anytime soon.
It's unbelievable because you send them down to, like, it was almost embarrassing as is. You just like, hey, look, you know what? We'll put you on the IL for 7 days. Clear your head, come back, you'll be fine. Or we're going to send you down to AAA. Let's work on some things. We'll send you down to AA, or we'll send you down to an affiliate that's close to our major league ball club just to get some innings in, work through some things, and we'll bring you back. They send him all the way down to basically instructional league baseball, where the players he's going up against aren't necessarily even major league players. They're not good enough to be in rookie ball. They're not good enough to be in single A, double A, or triple A, and he's struggling there. So the climb back up from Manoah will be amazing if he can do it. But I just look at that fall. It just, where did it come from? Pitching in an all-star game to can't get anybody out in instructional league, basically starting baseball. It's amazing to watch this happen here. How about this? Dante DiVincenzo says, hey, man, outplayed my contract. $4.7 million next year. Now I'm opting out of that. I want that payday.
Yeah, I mean, and he was actually, he was pretty good there. He did have that ankle injury, about a year and a half ago, and then he healed that, and he came back with Golden State. He was a great, you know, a big 3-and-D guy here, hit 40% from three. He's a very serviceable guy coming off the bench and role player, and somebody is going to pay him this season here. It just seems like his time has come to an end with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, outplaying the contract, moving on. You get a lot of that across the NBA, but typically we see guys like, hey, you know what? I'm opting out of $25 or $30 million. Sensible there. $4.7 million looking to upgrade. There will be a team that will give him much more than that and also give that to him long-term. So welcome in the radio audience here on a Wednesday morning. You're watching and listening live to The Early Line right here on Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri hitting the hottest topics in sports here in the 7-in-7, which does include this. I'll give you a quote. Casual Sixer fans, they'll trade me for a crumble cookie. No, we won't. We'll trade you for maybe a Wawa iced tea if you're lucky. That's Tobias Harris, who him and his father, who's his agent, feel like, man, the Sixers are getting a bargain with me. How could the fans be so upset with Tobias Harris making just about max money and giving you like 13 points a game?
Well, let's see. Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris. Oh, sorry. Did I say that? Yeah. He was talking to you, Donnie, by the way. I don't know if you know that. It should also be noted, he actually owns a whole lot of Crumble Cookies, which is why he pulled that one out of the sky. So he's a little shrewd businessman on the side as well, dropping some marketing there. So well done, Tobias. However, the Sixers' priority is Harden. It ain't trading Tobias Harris.
Yeah, come on, man. You're making just about max money. Harden takes up a lot of the defensive efforts from the other team. Joel Embiid, an MVP, and you can only, 13, 14 a game stop the madness here. We just had, by the way, the NBA draft just showed up. Obviously, tonight, the NHL draft will be here. Next year, Bronny, mock draft. How about that? Number 17 overall to the Hawks. What do you think, Joe? Speechless. Speechless is the best words here. Bronny going 17 overall to the Atlanta Hawks at this point. Also, keep it moving. By the way, with those Atlanta Hawks, a lot of changes here going through at this point here for the Hawks. So, Wode says everybody is on the table for the Atlanta Hawks at this point right now. Everybody. How about that? Is Trae Young going to be on the move? How about DeJounte Murray? It could happen. And also, the Rays and the Diamondbacks, if you thought you were getting an under yesterday, you would be wrong. How about 9 runs scored through the first 2 innings out in Arizona with a Diamondbacks 8-4 win? Zach Gallen takes it. We're going to talk a lot more Major League Baseball coming up with or without Joe Ranieri. I'll be back right here on the Early Line. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
No more technical difficulties. It's time to roll here in hour number one on a Wednesday morning of the Early Line. It's Joe and Donnie in Major League Baseball. A big night last night. We'll start in the charmed city of Baltimore. The Reds needed it, and they got it, Joe. 3-1 victory yesterday over the Orioles, and rookie sensation Andrew Abbott improves to 4-0 with a solid effort yesterday. And this is what I love, too, because you can't get every pick or every thought process right in Major League Baseball. 2 nights ago, we loved the over in Baltimore. Last night, we were looking more toward the under, and it hit easily. 3-1 victory, big time for the Reds there to stay in first place by a half game in the Central.
Another rain delay too, Donnie. That was most annoying. Time, another hour and 45 minutes that we had to wait. And then, but I got news for you though. It was good. This kid Abbott. There's really nothing not to like about him. This team is starved for starting pitching, the Reds. And this kid being able to come out and do what he's done with a great ERA, struck out 8. Nothing not to like about him, and they certainly can use him with Hunter Green shelled and Lodolo shelled, and they need some help, and this kid is providing it. So nice bounce back after a little 3-game losing streak.
Yeah, that's big for the Reds there, because you're playing a quality baseball team at home that the Orioles drop. They were 25-14 coming into it, now 25-15. We'll see how that one continues in Baltimore, but a series that we're all looking forward to, and maybe we get some fireworks tonight. We'll find out. The Padres and the Pirates, the interesting part yesterday was Yu Darvish was set to start for the Padres, scratched and moved back, and that opens the door for the Pirates to win 9-4 in this one. But keep in mind, the Padres had a 3-0 lead here early. Looks like they're going to skate to a victory. I actually liked Fernando Tatis Jr. and also Manny Machado to get an RBI. Neither one happened, and the Padres get hammered yesterday in the Iron City.
Just embarrassing. Again, back to the whole disappointment here of this Padres team with the lineup that they can roll out there, the quality of players, and their inability to get to 90-year-old Rich Hill is just hilarious on so many levels, Donnie. So kudos to Pittsburgh, though. I guess 9 runs, I think, is the most runs they've scored all month, so combined. So kudos to Pittsburgh getting it done.
Yeah, Rich Hill improves here to 7-7 on the season. They got to him early, but settled down like a legitimate veteran would do here. Giants and the Blue Jays, 3-0 here for the San Francisco Giants. Break them up. They just continue to win baseball games. A pitcher's matchup that we thought would go through, but maybe dominated from Gausman's end of it. But really, it was Wood that was sensational on the mound. 8 hits for the Blue Jays. No runs scored in that game. Giants take that dub.
Yeah, and it was kind of a, you know, one of those bullpen games. They went with Ryan Walker to Giants to start it. Wood comes in, throws. I mean, he was phenomenal. Five plus innings, only five hits. He didn't walk anybody, which is always great, and struck out seven. So I think maybe the Giants have figured a few things out with him, because Alex Wood was always a guy, Donnie, where you can't let him face the lineup the third time. They crush him. His numbers are ridiculous. But maybe they figured out, get an opener out there. Maybe we can get, you know, five innings, get into the sixth, and then let the bullpen take over. And man, it worked like a charm on the road against Toronto yesterday.
Yeah, we'll see today also, because I do believe that Toronto's going to have a bullpen game tonight, so not an official starter. That might help out the Giants to continue that hot streak here. We'll see if that one plays out. How about the Mets? 7-2 victory over the Brewers. Said it yesterday. I'm not going to trust the Mets. I'm not going to bet the Mets here. You got Peterson on the mound, who was terrible to start the season. Then you send him down to AAA. He wasn't very good either. Coming back to a start against Julio Teheran has been sensational. Well, how about this pitching matchup turns into Peterson? Six innings, no earned runs. Yeah, that's the typical Milwaukee offense we're looking at. And then Julio Teheran, 5 2/3, seven earned runs. The Mets woke up, maybe because their owner goes, all right, tomorrow I'm calling my own press conference. Let's see what happens there. The Mets maybe got a wake-up call early last night, Joe.
Yeah, well, it's you know, it's never good when the big guy you know, blasted out on Twitter that he's going to be holding a meeting and how he's not happy. But I mean, listen, they've responded. We'll see if they can do it again. But it'll be interesting to see exactly what Cohen's got to say publicly. Maybe outing this team here a little bit and throwing some guys under the bus. You got to love a little turmoil. Things like this usually either work great, or it's an absolute train wreck, Donnie. I can't wait to see how this turns out here today.
Yeah, what is the press conference even going to be at? Listen up. I'll close out the show a little bit later with talking about it, but it could be anything. I don't think it's going to be a firing of a manager or GM. Is it just going to be a public scolding of the guys making all this money, not performing up to expectations? Should be interesting nonetheless. I'll tell you who solved the riddle yesterday. Maybe it was the St. Louis Cardinals. Could this be the launching point here for playing much better baseball, as they've now won 6 of 8 games, but they solved. Framber Valdez, 6 innings, 4 earned runs for Valdez. And how about Montgomery? 6 2/3, 1 earned run in 6 Ks yesterday. The talented Cardinals improve, I guess you could say, to 33-45.
Yeah, and, you know, Houston once again, Houston opened up with a couple of runs there to take the lead, but then Valdez had a couple of very iffy innings there in the middle go of it, and kudos to St. Louis for taking advantage of it, but my goodness, they're having a hard time putting the ball in play right now, this Houston team, and it is a very difficult 7-14 in the last 21. Yeah, they got to figure some things out offensively here, Houston, because they're not getting it done.
Yeah, at the FanDuel Sportsbook, too, you're trying to price things out, and the Astros are still priced very high there to win the World Series, to win the league championship. So we expect them to get healthy and turn it around, but that's just an expectation at this point. And also the Cardinals is still waiting to see what they're going to do. They got a lot of baseball to play for about the next month until that trade deadline, to see if they want to be buyers or sellers at the deadline. We'll check in with them certainly throughout the summer. The Philadelphia Phillies and the Chicago Cubs, a 5-1 victory by the Philadelphia Phillies, and breakup Ranger Suarez, absolutely sensational, Joe, over the past month. Goes 7 1/3 at Wrigley, 1 earned run in 8 Ks here, 2 home runs for Brandon Marsh. Tyone takes the loss, 5 innings pitched and 5 earned runs. The Phillies here, they're living large here away from Citizens Bank Ballpark.
Yeah, Marsh 12 for his last 20 in the last 6 games. So he is absolutely crushing it, and exactly the kind of performance the Phillies needed from Suarez. The bats kind of went cold there, but a lot of that had to do because of how Suarez was pitching last night. Great job. Tyone got hit early and often, and before you knew it, they dug themselves quite the hole. It was 5-0, and then that was it. Lights out.
I thought the left-handed bats would do damage against Tyone. It was the right-handed bats, so I mean, certainly coming out to play yesterday. Let's take a look here. Shohei Ohtani in this game. Maybe that's all we need to say about the Los Angeles Angels and the Chicago White Sox. Shohei Ohtani pitched last night, Joe Ranieri. Let's just take a look at his statistics. 6 1/3, 1 earned run, 10 Ks. Wow, what a night. Hit the showers. Not so fast. 3 for 3 at the plate. 2 more home runs. Average now up to 304. talking about this throughout the summer and the way as the way we go into July, August, and September. This is a season for the ages he's putting up right now.
First American League pitcher in, 60 years now to homer twice in a game. Oh, yeah, and strike out 10 as well on his way. If it wasn't for the hangnail, apparently, that he had going on there, he probably would have struck out 15 at some particular point in 6 1/3 innings. It's just ridiculous what this guy is able to do, and I certainly hope people... You know, I've said it, Donnie. This is a Halley's Comet, people. Appreciate it while you can. We will not see this again for a very, very, very long time. It's kind of scary how good he is. And in turn, look at how good the Angels are now.
We need him in the playoffs. Absolutely. Both L.A. teams need to be in the playoffs. But looking at the AL League MVP award here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, again, we are in June, people. He's a -1450 price to win that award. You want to get a little frisky here? Corey Seager, 35-1, is in second place. Outrageous numbers across the boards. And you slide it down a little bit more on the FanDuel Sportsbook and say, how about this? McClanahan, Valdez, Gausman, Cole, then Shohei Ohtani in the AL Cy Young race at a 10-1 price. Could he be MVP and Cy Young in the same season? Absolutely outrageous what he's doing here. We're going to talk much more Major League Baseball coming up. We're going to start our preview with a couple afternoon Major League Baseball games. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball on the docket here in hour number one. Quick little preview here. We got spotlight games coming up. We got secondary previews. We got you covered on an exciting day in Major League Baseball. It's going to get started here in the afternoon. So it's Donnie Wrightside here, Joe Ranieri. Let's get it popping here and see what's up. The Twins and the Atlanta Braves here. A 12:20 start this afternoon on a Wednesday. Kenta Maeda is going to be on the mound here for the Twins. For the Atlanta Braves, Allard. And that's a heavy favorite here for the Braves. And why not? Cooking at the plate, it almost seems like, Joe, it doesn't matter what pitcher or what team they're going up against, they are going to hit. A total that's listed at 10 today, and the Braves a -162 favorite. So we'll start here. Whether or not you like Allard on the mound or not, is this just one of those teams that's so hot at the plate, as long as they get just a decent pitching performance, they're worth backing?
Well, they are, and I would also throw out that, you know, Maeda and Allard are probably two guys that we don't trust an awful lot. Mm-hmm. We know the total's 10 for a reason. You know there's one side of the equation there that is going to get their own, and I've got to believe, you know, Maeda's not going to be a guy that's going to be able to hold them down. I do think the Twins are going to have an opportunity to be able to get a few runs here, so I've got no problem looking at the over in the game. The team total's over. This is ripe for one of these, 11-7 kind of afternoons here, which is kind of where I think they are heading with a nice hot and humid day in Atlanta. I do think the ball will be traveling here.
86 degrees at first pitch here early afternoon. Slight wind blowing out the center field. I always like to look at the Braves' anticipated lineup because it's just a green light. You know, you sit there and it's like, man, it's never red at this light. I'm catching every light. That's what the Atlanta Braves lineup is at this point. Look at the weighted on-base percentages versus right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. 420, 415, 338, 405, 426, 360, 470, 359, and 402. It almost doesn't even make sense. So Kenta Maeda, good luck on the mound today, because the Braves, as I like to say, Joe, in absolute wagon right now. Let's take a look at game number two here in the afternoon. This one's on the West Coast. A 4:11 start, so West Coast time, 1:11. The Nationals and the Mariners, Corbin versus Gilbert, a monster favorite for those Mariners at a -260 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and a total that's listed at 8. Patrick Corbin, Logan Gilbert, what do we got today from your perspective, Joe?
I don't what is there to say here? Washington tied this series up yesterday, didn't they? So a big opportunity here with Corbin on the mound. I can't even thinking about backing Corbin here going up against Gilbert. But that's where I find myself with Seattle being this unbelievably ridiculous monster favorites here. Call me crazy here. I think Washington can believe. We know they can hit. Still not sold on this Mariners lineup at all. So I am going to go big or go home with this 4 o'clock in the afternoon game. And I'm going to back the Nats early here and say, this is, Corbin is exactly the kind of guy that Seattle, for whatever reason, seems to have problems with. Guys they should crush, and they don't. So I don't think they crush him here either.
Hey, by the way, if you're missing on Lane Thomas there, always a spot there if you want to put him in a hitter prop parlay, RBIs, home runs. He does it all. Last 30 days against right-handed pitching, a 231 ISO power number and a 346 weighted on base percentage. You take a look at Logan Gilbert over the past 30 days. He's actually struggled with his weighted on base percentages and ISO power numbers against both lefty and righty batters. If you flip it over here and take a look at Patrick Corbin, a little bit leaky now against right-handed batters, which sometimes is the case with left-handed pitching, a 215 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 432. First five guys in the lineup today for the Mariners that we anticipate, all elevated weighted on base percentages against left-handed pitching over the past month. Crawford 358, Rodriguez 342, Ty France 552, Teoscar Hernandez 454, and Eugenio Suarez at a 380 price point. Might we be getting some runs today? We'll find out there on the West Coast, but that is a true pitcher's ballpark. Let's keep moving down. And one of the games that we've previewed here specifically on the series and how big it was, Cincinnati Reds and the Baltimore Orioles. We take a look at Weaver on the mound for the Reds going up against Kyle Gibson of the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles are a heavy favorite in this one at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a -178 price. The total listed in this game at 9. Are we looking to get back to more runs in this game down in the Charm City here?
I don't see how we don't with, you know, with Gibson and Weaver, right? I mean, both of these teams, Donnie, have been pretty decent to the over this year. They've been pretty profitable. So we got a couple of, you know, average or just below average starting pitchers with a couple of lineups that are capable of mashing the ball in a ballpark that has been known to cater to the over. So, yeah, call me crazy here, but I would look at the Reds early as a dog, maybe in the first five, but I am absolutely looking at the over in this game when it's all said and done.
Absolutely. A little zigzag theory here. Goes over, stays under, should get back over today. If we're taking a look here on the East Coast, finally, precipitation in Baltimore listed at around 5%. Hallelujah. Maybe we won't get any rain delay in this one. About 80 degrees down in Baltimore. And also, take a look at Luke Weaver. Seems like it's all bad. Last 30 days here, we take a look at, how about this? ISO power number 233 to left-handed batters. To right-handed batters, a 282 on the season. It's even a little bit worse here over the past 30 days. We should be getting into a nice hitting environment down in Baltimore. The Padres and the Pirates. Snell, Keller, -158. And by the way, I do see Snell is listed. There were some thoughts that Yu Darvish might get pushed back into today. Let me just do a quick double check of a couple other sites out here that we have it. I have Darvish on one, and then the FanDuel Sportsbook here is listing Snell. Any officials from you on this one, Joe, before we break down the wrong pitcher?
I'm seeing both as well. So it's interesting. But, I'm this early in the morning, I think they're still trying to figure it out, obviously. But, yeah, so I would venture to say that if it depending on who's next here and who could use the extra day or next maybe a little bit of bump, it would make sense that maybe they bring Darvish back if he's ready to go and give Snell an extra opportunity. Either way, it's Keller, I think, is the key to this game. I don't care if it's Snell or Darvish. Keller's the key to this one.
Yeah, Keller absolutely is the key to this one here. Take a look on the season here. ISO power number to both lefty and righty batters combined, 408 of those. That's a 129. That's pretty good. Weighted on base percentage, again, that 320 range is average. He's at a 284. A little bit leaky in the past 30 days against left-handed batters for the right-handed Mitch Keller, but only a 158 ISO, which is right around average, 360 weighted on base percentage, which is slightly elevated. We'll see if the Padres get back to it. First three guys in the lineup against right-handed pitching doing damage. That's Kim, Tatis, and Soto. 353 weighted on base percentage, 451 and 398 respectively here. But that was a bad loss yesterday. You get Richo for three runs in the top of the second inning and end up getting waxed in that baseball game. Certainly not a great look. Now, let's head back to Flushing here. Citi Field, the New York Mets going to take on the Milwaukee Brewers. That's Miley and Senga on the mound. Heavy favorite here for the Mets once again at a -154 price and a total of 8.5 on the eve of the owner having a press conference, all hands on deck for the Mets, because the last thing you want to do is get crushed in this game. And then, see, I don't, by the way, is it before the game or after the game tonight? Like, when are we speaking here with the ownership group?
Yeah.
Like, is it before the game to shake them up?
I would think it was before the game. So the Mets will go into this game having heard from the owner like the rest of us. There's no way they'll do it after the game, because what are you going to do if they win again? There's not a whole lot to get angry about there. So he's going to need to light a fire. And he also seems to be the kind of guy that, I threw this out on Twitter yesterday and the team responded. Mm-hmm. So why don't I go ahead and throw a press conference out there today, tied for the game, and watch them win. But hey, listen, Senga's a guy that been better at Citi Field than he has been on the road. So if they're going to win this game, it's going to be because he's going to be lights out. Strikeout prop may be in order for him, expecting the Mets to get the job done. He's certainly capable of striking out a team who loves to strike out, and he loves betting. He loves pitching at Citi Field for some reason. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and back the Mets, and I'll back his over strikeout prop as well.
It's really interesting when you take a look at it, too, because you don't know what the press conference is actually about, but it can't be too bad, because if it was a press conference you were having, the owner's not going to go like, hey, by the way, tune in tomorrow night. Like, no, it would take place immediately where they would break in the coverage on ESPN, where either the manager, the general manager, or guys are just going to be outright cut at that point. So I do think it might be more on the positive, but I guess the owner feels like he needs to get out in front of, hey, I spent all this money. I'm not getting a return on investment. I'm just as upset as the fans are, you know, that what the performance is behind the scenes happening. Hopefully we play better, but I also look like maybe a little bump in the arm. Peterson gave him the bump last night. Now you're going to take a look tonight if Senga can return that favor. By the way, Wade Miley, left-handed pitcher on the season, last 30 days, he's got some pretty good numbers, even though he's only faced 38 batters. To lefties, an ISO power number of 143, a weighted on base percentage of 181. To righties, an 069 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 184. If we're taking a look at this game and the total, are you leaning more towards the over in this game or the under at the 8.5?
No, absolutely the under here at Citi. Don't trust either offense all that much. And you've mentioned Miley has been on a tear. I'd go even further. I'd go first five under and expect this to be a bit of a pitcher's battle early in this game here with a lot of swing and misses coming, I think, from both teams.
Nimmo and Lindor trying to wake up. The home run market tonight here. Pete Alonso leads it at a +310 price. Rowdy Tellez at a +370. But if you're looking from that Mets perspective there, Francisco Lindor at a +540 price. Maybe the run starts now. They got scared into it by their owner, Mr. Cohen. We'll see if that certainly holds up. But the Major League Baseball preview is just getting started. Hour number two will preview five more games that also has a spotlight game north of the border in Toronto with the San Francisco Giants. But you know what's on deck tonight? The NHL draft is going to begin. We have expert Brayton J. Wilson joining us in just a few moments. So don't go anywhere. It's a Wednesday morning edition of the Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on the Early Line, hour number one. Big doings here. We talked about the NBA draft ad nauseum, you know, guys that can change the pathway for franchises, generational players. We just might have that in this year's NHL draft. So Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside, let's welcome in Brayton J. Wilson from WBEN and WGR. We're ready to talk some hockey. Thanks for rising and grinding with us, Brayton.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Let's have some fun and get after it. Before we get to the NHL draft tonight, some off-season doings here in the NHL I want to get to and certainly get your take. Me, being a Philadelphia Flyers fan, it has been painful. Yep, haven't won Stanley Cup since the 1970s, some success in the 80s and 90s, but almost a dormant franchise to the fan base over the past 5 years. And that's due a lot to who are you signing, how much you're signing them to, and what effort they're putting in. Kevin Hayes traded to the Blues for basically nothing. What gives there, Brayton?
Well, I mean, it's a situation where general manager Danny Briere, he's a new general manager. He's trying to make complete overhaul changes to the Flyers on the fly. He wants to be able to shift things around there without really kind of losing any traction. And that means he's going to have to make some moves that may not necessarily be favorable for a lot of fans, especially given the fact that you only get a sixth round pick for Kevin Hayes in a trade return. I mean, his salary cap though, I mean, was a little higher than I think that many teams would like. So, I mean, certainly having the Flyers taking that and then also having the Flyers retaining 50% for that to trade him off to the Blues. So, you know, trades like that are going to happen when you're a team trying to rebuild on the fly. They're not necessarily deals that fans are probably going to like, but when you're a team like the Flyers that need to change things up and really shake up the roster and shake up the mix-up of things inside the locker room, on the ice, off the ice, things are like that are going to happen, unfortunately.
And the worst part about that, too, again, being a Flyers fan, is we already went through a rebuild with Ron Hextall and got, you know, Nolan Patrick out of that deal, which certainly didn't help the Flyers out at all. A long rebuild, certainly in order here. Pierre-Luc Dubois to the Kings, a big move that just went down a few days ago.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting move for the Los Angeles Kings because they have plenty of depth down the middle. You know, you got Anze Kopitar, who's, yes, he's in his older ages, but then you have Philip Deneau, who you gave a big contract to a couple years back, and now you add Pierre-Luc Dubois, who, you know, has kind of been a mixed bag in the NHL. We've seen the high-end talent that he potentially has, and then we've seen the lulls in his play and the inconsistencies. And the return in this trade for Winnipeg is a really good one. Alex Iafallo, who a little bit of a Buffalo tie, is from Eden. He goes to the Winnipeg Jets along with Gabe Vilardi, who was a former first-round pick a few years back. And then Rasmus Kupari, who was once thought of as a very highly thought-of prospect, going to the Jets. And then obviously a second-round pick is good draft stock as well. So the Kings get a really nice player down the middle who may have some consistency issues, but certainly the Kings are trying to bolster up front, at least. Where they need to really do, what they really need to do next, though, is really try to go out and get themselves a goaltender. They tried it with Jonas Korpisalo and tried it with Phoenix Copley, especially in the playoffs. It didn't work. They got eliminated in the first round. So they got to shore up their goaltending situation. But if they can do that this offseason, they might make some waves heading into the next year.
There you go. And taking a look at the team making some waves here last year during the regular season, none better than the Boston Bruins, but they go into the playoffs and ended up it being a disastrous season overall. Now we're looking at some turnover. Bergeron and Krejci, what's the news with them here, Brayden?
Well, apparently general manager Don Sweeney came out yesterday and was talking to the media in Nashville before the draft, and they're expecting, or at least going into the season with the mindset that Bergeron and Krejci are not going to be around for this upcoming season. So what does that mean? That means they've got to try to shore up their, not just their first center line, their center position, but their second center position as well, as Krejci came back from the Czech Republic after a year back in Europe to play this year with the thought that the Bruins were going to be able to make a run to the Stanley Cup, win, and send off Bergeron, Krejci, and maybe another guy or two off with a Stanley Cup. Didn't happen. They lost to the Florida Panthers in the first round. And now if Bergeron and Krejci are both retired, that means you're going to have to rely on the likes of Pavel Zacha, Charlie Coyle, Trent Frederick to be your center depth. While it's not terrible, they certainly could use a nice upgrade down the middle at first or second line center.
From a B-team perspective for me, because the Philadelphia Flyers certainly aren't giving me a lot of love right now in the win column and a lot of excitement, I take a look at the Edmonton Oilers, go, man, that team's fun. Hasn't equated in championships just yet, but the one thing we do know, Connor David is absolutely tremendous out there. But a little bit of funny business here. Hart Trophy, which is the MVP of the NHL, almost a unanimous, everybody loves the guy, and he's got the first place votes. A fifth place vote in there. How come?
I don't know. I mean, it had to have been somebody from Boston. It only makes sense because if you're voting David Pastrnak and you're the only one voting him as number one in MVP and you give Connor McDavid a fifth place vote, that just to me, it just smells to me like it's a guy that I'm not going to vote for Connor McDavid. I'm going to give him the credit of being a top five player in the NHL, but I'm not going to give him that vote or the next vote or the next vote. I'll give him a fifth place vote and just go with that. Yeah, Connor McDavid was far and ahead the best player in the NHL. And while David Pastrnak was a good player this year, not even on the same level with Connor McDavid, just because McDavid was just an all-around electric player on the ice for the Edmonton Oilers. You know, he just continuously amazes everybody with his skill set, his speed, his hands, his shot, and everything like that. I mean, he is trying everything he can to help the Edmonton Oilers make it and get past those demons and get into the Stanley Cup final, at least for the first time since 2006. But you know, when you've only got a couple of players up the top like McDavid, Draisaitl, and even Nugent Hopkins, and then the rest of the roster is kind of just middling, it's only going to get you so far.
Talking hockey, Wednesday morning edition of the Early Line with Brayton J. Wilson of WBEN. Having some fun. Let's get down to Nashville tonight. The NHL draft is taking place. We just talked about an MVP named Connor. Could we be talking about a future MVP named Connor? That's Connor Bedard. Looks like he might be that generational guy. We just saw it in the NBA here, Brayton. Victor Wembanyama goes to the Spurs. Connor Bedard looks like he's going to the Blackhawks. Talk to us on the impact and the player that we think the Chicago Blackhawks are getting tonight.
Yeah, certainly Connor Bedard is the best prospect to come into the NHL draft since Connor McDavid came in at 2015 and was drafted number one overall by the Edmonton Oilers. And the Blackhawks lucked out. They won the draft lottery after finishing, I believe, the third worst team in the NHL, if I can remember off the top of my head. But they win the draft lottery, jump up to number one. Anaheim wins the second pick, bumps down to number two. But Connor Bedard is the type of player that he doesn't have the blazing speed that McDavid does, but he has to kind of alter his game a little bit more to be just as effective. And that's with his incredible vision, his stick handling, his quick release on his shot. I mean, he arguably has the best skill sets of any prospect coming out since McDavid. And of course, you know, he just has this really nice release off the stick where he can kind of just kind of curl the puck in and just quickly let it go. It takes defensemen off guard. It takes goaltenders off guard. And, you know, it wasn't even close in the Canadian Hockey League playing in the Western Hockey League with Regina this past year. Connor Bedard was electric. He was lights out. He had 71 goals, 72 assists in less than 60 games played. I mean, he is the epitome of the next generational type player. And that list is not long. It is McDavid. It is Crosby. It is Ovechkin. It is the likes of Mario Lemieux. And all those guys went number one overall. Connor Bedard is set to join that list when he gets drafted number one overall on Wednesday.
So let me ask you here, Aubrey, because the betting markets, we all know number one, it seems to get interesting 2, 3, and 4 here. It looks like Fantilli appears to be what the market thinks Anaheim is going to go. And then the question happens with 3 and 4. Is it Will Smith? Is it Leo Carlson? What happens, you think, in the top of this draft outside of Bedard? What happens at 2, 3, and 4?
Yeah, there's certainly been some chatter recently where the Anaheim Ducks might not be sold on taking Adam Fantilli after months and months of essentially almost penning him in as the number two overall pick. There's some speculation that they could turn to Will Smith, could turn to Leo Carlson. And don't forget, Matvei Michkov is in that mix too, the very skilled Russian forward who arguably might be the second best prospect in this draft. But the only questions of with him is the Russian factor, obviously. He's got 3 more years left on his contract over in the KHL. Obviously, the situation with the war in Ukraine is not a good situation at all. And this past weekend, certainly, draws up some questions in terms of the viability of Russia, period. But aside from that aspect, Matvei Michkov is just an incredibly skilled player. And last year, 2 years ago, they were already focusing in on him as potentially a 1B prospect to Connor Bedard. Just that skilled of a player, maybe the best puck handling player or best puck handling prospect coming into this draft class. So certainly there's that aspect as well. But yeah, it's really interesting to see how this is going to play out. I'm not sure whether or not the number two situation with the Ducks going anywhere else but Fantilli is, you know, maybe a smokescreen or something like that. But I think that the Ducks could go Matvei Michkov at number two, willing to wait on him for 3 years over in Russia because they have a bevy of players and prospects that will be ready to go down the line. So come 2026, when his contract expires, he could sign his entry-level contract, come right over, and be able to slot right in with the likes of Trevor Zegras or Mason McTavish. Other than that, you know, Leo Carlson showed a lot of talent over in Sweden as an underager this year. He had one of the best seasons as an underage player in the Swedish Hockey League ever. And then Will Smith is an electrifying playmaker down the middle with the U.S. National Team Development Program. He should go in the top five. And then, of course, Adam Fantilli. He put up a Hobie Baker season with the University of Michigan. He's only the third freshman to ever win the Hobie Baker as the best college hockey player in the league, joining Jack Eichel and Paul Kariya years ago. So certainly it all of a sudden has become this really interesting of, hey, is Adam Fantilli surely that much of the second overall pick to Anaheim, or are they thinking elsewhere?
By the way, quick question on this one, too. Every draft, we see high risers from some of these prospects where he said, hey, you know, he might have been mocked late second round, early second round, and weeks go by and they move up the charts. Is there anybody you're looking at there that could shock on draft? They're like, wow, that guy, we thought he might go second round. Look at how high he's going in the draft tonight.
So this draft is a really interesting draft just because I think the talent, especially in the top five, is above the rest of the class. And then when you get from like pick six down to pick 15, there's that next group of players that are surefire going to be number ones. But then you get to pick 16 and probably down into like the 35 to 40 range and heading into the second round. Anybody that gets called in that range is not going to be entirely a surprise to anyone. So it's really, really interesting to see how that's going to play out. The one player that I do have maybe shooting up the board a little bit, especially with the factor that the Washington Capitals really like the Russian prospects. In my mock draft over at WGR550.com here locally, I have defenseman Dmitry Simashev going eighth overall. And Simashev is a really good skating, puck handling defenseman, really, really reliable at both ends of the ice. And I think a lot of people have him projected maybe more in the mid to late first round. I could easily see him being very likable to a team like the Capitals, shooting up the board, going eighth overall, and being that surprising pick.
Fantastic stuff out of Brayton J. Wilson here, news reporter at WBEN and WGR. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Rising and grinding on the early line. Thanks again. Let us know where we can find you at, by the way. Where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter at Brayton J. Wilson, and you can find my stuff over at WGR550.com or at WBEN.com.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you, Brayton. Good luck tonight in the draft, and we'll check everything out in the NHL draft tonight. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment before we hit the top of the hour here on the early line for a Wednesday edition right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Joe and Donnie here. And look, hey, we got to talk a little bit more Alek Manoah, because what we've seen is such a crazy fall from year to year that we didn't expect it. What I expected to hear was, I haven't heard anything from Alek Manoah since he was basically sent down. And now we see he goes down in his first minors game and gets shelled. And we're not talking about Joe, AAA, AA, single A. No. We're talking instructional league baseball down in Florida, where you're facing 17 to 19-year-olds. When you're used to getting out Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, now you can't get out guys we probably will never see rise above the single A level. Now, also, trying to paint a broad stroke on this. Hey, don't worry about it. He's working through some things. I'm not buying into that, Joe. I'm just not.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's to be fair, we should mention it was, I am fairly certain the reason it was twofold, right? The reason they sent him all the way down to instructional ball, rookie ball, was A, to get a little confidence, because he should be able to, after a couple of starts, be able to dominate anybody that is in that league. So, you know, they're trying to build up his confidence, number one. And number two, I'm sure they were trying to work on just maybe one thing mechanically. It doesn't excuse the fact that you gave up 11 runs in 2 2/3 innings. However, I'm pretty sure it was a very one-dimensional start, meaning if he was working on the slider or he's working, that was all he was throwing. So we'll see. I think the second one will be a better indicator of what they have figured out there. But I think they wanted to give him confidence, which is why they brought him down there.
Yeah, a lot of confidence that first start had. We will see in game number two what that has. But in the game, our good old Manoah gave up the first single to Hans Montero. But if there's a silver lining, an 18-year-old named Arias, Roderick Arias, hit a home run over the 30-foot center field batter's eye, and it was a three-run blast. But that 18-year-old kid actually got a $4 million signing bonus from the Yankees in 2022. So maybe he might be a good player. Who knows? Hour number two, it comes up next.